Cyberbullying, it's a funny term. I guess really it means people, usually kids, bullying other kids because the technology is there. It's so easy to get onto Facebook, to text, to contact someone else, make their life a misery, and no one else realises it's going on. And if that young person doesn't tell someone, seek help, it can lead to tragic consequences. Susan McLean is a cyber safety expert, and she joins us from our Melbourne studio. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Well, thank you. And there also is Andrew McColm, who is our technology guru. Andrew, thanks for joining in.
Pleasure, Carol.
Now, Susan, this is probably something that parents or grandparents do find difficult to deal with because, well, it can probably happen without anyone else in the family, any of the adults realising it's going on.
And that's correct. And, of course, people of adult age certainly didn't grow up with the technology that's available to children today. And most of it, as you said earlier, it's pervasive. It follows the young person home. It doesn't get left at the school gate. And what we also know from research is that about 80% of young people won't tell a parent if they're bullied or harassed online because they fear their parents saying, well, you know what, the only way to fix this is just to disconnect you. And in their mind, that's punishing them further for what someone else is doing to them.
So they may feel a bit out of it if they're being bullied, but if they're not online and not accessible, they're kind of almost a non-person in their eyes, aren't they?
Absolutely. And what we know is that they would much rather, and they've told us this, they would much rather put up with the bullying in order to remain connected to the rest of their world, which is okay, than risk telling a parent that would overreact and disconnect the lot.
Gee, so are they likely then to almost hide what's going on?
Often they do, especially if the parent has repeatedly in the past threatened to disconnect technology. It's a little bit different if you've got really good communication happening in your family and your children will come forward and tell you. But for a lot of families, especially where parents are, I suppose, often in awe of the technology and they don't have a good understanding of it, the simplest and easiest way and often the only way they know how to deal with it is basically just to pull the plug.
There are obviously other ways, and we will look at the psychology of this and also at the technology of it with Andrew McColm. Susan, you started looking at this a long time ago. We think it's something new, but it's not. You started looking at
it's
in
not.
1994.
Yes, and I still remember getting a call from a school asking my advice and assistance in relation to a group of Year 8 girls. And, you know, in 1994, I think back, I was absolutely, thought I was fabulous. I could send an email. I thought technology was great. You know, isn't this fantastic? You don't have to write things, post them. Victoria Police were not connected to the internet at that stage. It was all fairly newish. And I didn't remotely imagine that it could be misused. I was just grateful that we had it.
And you worked for many years with Victoria Police. Can you, to illustrate the sort of thing that you're talking about, can you tell us of some experiences that kids have gone through?
Well, that first one back in 1994 involved a group of Year 8 schoolgirls. And when the year level coordinator contacted me for some advice, I was thinking, now, what might the girls have got up to? You know, perhaps they ran away from home or they went to a party and got drunk on the weekend. No, what they did is they went online and they had a falling out with one of the girls. So they went into an adult sex chat room and they posted her private details, her name, her address and her phone number, and they offered her to the world for free sex. So that family was inundated with phone calls. Even worse than that, people knocking on the door looking for this person that was offering herself around. And that had terrible consequences for not only the young girl involved but also her family.
That is jaw-droppingly awful, isn't it?
It is, and when you think that wasn't yesterday, that was 1994, it was absolutely amazing. It set me on the path that I then took, which was to research and upskill myself, because I thought, well, gee, if kids can misuse technology as an adult, I'm just excited that we've got it. We really need to get our head around what is possible, and really what is possible is only limited by a young person's imagination, and as we know, they are very inventive and very imaginative.
Andrew McCollum is with us, our technology guru from Evolving Communications. I suppose there are filters to keep out pornography and things like that, Andrew, but is there any technological way to combat this, or does it all come down to human relationships?
Well, look, Carol, look, the basis of it is keeping an eye on your kids. There's nothing really anything better than being in the same room or having the computer in the living room whilst the kids are surfing online. In answer to your question about technology, yes, there is. There's in two forms, I'd say. There's a hardware and a software form. Software is what the government's trying to put out there, and here's free downloads to put onto your system to curtail what's going on. And in the hardware that you can buy, which I think nearly everybody's bought one these days, is a wireless router, so you can sit on the couch with your laptop and connect into your connect into your ADSL broadband. You can actually use that particular piece of equipment, a router, to limit certain machines, to limit certain access at certain hours of the days and nights, which means that when the kids are supposed to be sleeping or at certain times when you may not be home to supervise them, you can actually say no internet access. You can actually log on to other machines and other things within your house, but nothing outside. So, yeah, there is technology which lets you do that.
Now, Susan McLean, you've spoken to so many people who've had their, youngsters victims of cyberbullying. In fact, I'll say to our listeners, if you would like to talk about this, maybe it's been part of your experience and how did you deal with it, 1300 222 891. Susan McLean is a cyber safety expert and Andrew McCollum is our technology guru. Susan, what are some of the other cases that you've looked at?
They go through the whole gamut, from children really as young as now grade 3. So you're looking at 7, 8, 9-year-olds that are being involved in making nasty comments online, right through. And I know in your introduction you mentioned school children and children in general, but I now work in the corporate arena. I work with elite sporting bodies because they're seeing these sort of behaviours that the people involved in them have brought with them from adolescence into adulthood. I've seen young people had fake profiles set up about them which are purely there to demean them, nasty emails, horrible comments on an instant messaging program such as MSN, exclusion, like on MSN, one of the safety features, for example, is that you can block someone that is annoying you. But what we find is groups of girls in particular, they collude together, they go home and they block one of the group. She goes online and sees no one else is online, so she thinks, oh, it must be homework night tonight. But, of course, they're all socialising behind her back. So you name it, I've seen it, and it doesn't, affect one type of child. Anyone that is connected to technology in any way, shape or form can become a victim, and they also can become the perpetrator of this, because we also know that the internet is impersonal. People sort of get a false sense of bravado when they're using technology. They might call themselves some fake name, Fluffy 1234 or Sexy Chick or Hot Stuff, believing they can be anonymous, but of course we know they can't. And they hide behind the interface that is the internet. And there are many, many young people that would no more bully in real life than fly to the moon, but they will become involved in online bullying and harassment because it gives them the courage to do so.
So it's kind of taken the place of the playground bully and probably encourages them to be worse.
It does, and many, many kids that bully online will say, oh, I wouldn't say that to their face, or I wouldn't pick on that person in real life, because they know they'll probably get, a smack in the mouth for their efforts. But they believe that they can hide behind the computer screen and no one is going to know that it's them.
If you'd like to join in this conversation, 1300 222 891. Susan McLean, you spent many years with the Victorian Police and you went to America. Was that an eye-opening experience? What did you learn there that you brought back with you?
It was an eye-opening experience, and yes, I did 27 years with Victoria Police. In 2006, I spent the month of August in America. First of all, I went to a place called Rochester, which is in New York State, where I undertook some training that was offered to the FBI and also the police in America, run by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And that just looked at, you know, what kids are doing online, how they're doing it, and basically the framework for the way America was tackling the problem. I then went to Dallas, Texas, where I participated in a week-long conference, which is sort of, it's not like the way we view a conference here. It was really another one-week training program where you had to undertake and pass so many hours of training when it came to online activities. And we were exposed to experts from social networking sites, instant messaging programs. We looked at pornography, images of child abuse. The FBI Innocent Images were set up there so we could look at what they did. And then I was very lucky enough to be able to work with the Dallas Police Department. They have an Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force team, and I spent a couple of days looking at how they tackled the problem there, both their reactive program, so how they actually investigated these sort of crimes, and also their proactive arm. So what were they providing the community? How were they dealing with education and young people? Not just young people, but obviously parents and teachers as well.
Talking to Susan McLean, who's a cyber safety expert, and Andrew McCollum, our technology advisor. William is with us. Hello, William.
Oh, hello. I'm first cab off the rank today. How are you?
Well, thanks. What would you like to say?
Well, unfortunately, people don't realise that the internet is sort of it's public domain. Nothing is safe on there. In fact, all those little confidentiality things at the bottom mean absolutely nothing. As soon as you press the button, it's public domain. You should not put on the internet anything that your granny couldn't read or your lawyer couldn't defend, because anybody can fast forward it, copy it. I've seen instances of people having great arguments and discussions on the internet, which is childish and ridiculous, and they don't realise that it's locked up in the server and can be accessed by anybody at any time to prove that they actually did it.
Good point, William. Andrew McCollum, are there any privacy safeguards, or once you go into that world, are you fair game?
Look, the caller's right. He's right on the money there, because as soon as you put something online, it gets stored, it gets cached. Like, even Google keeps an offline version. Like, you've probably seen it when you search for something. It says, do you want to look at the cached version? So
yeah.
Regardless of what you put online, it will always sort of end up somewhere. It's fair game for anyone to come back and have a look at months, if not years, down the track. So, yeah, you can probably, like anything in life, you can do things that you'll probably regret. So if in doubt, just don't do it. It's common sense. And getting back to the cyber side of things, or should I say the cyber safety side of things, you know, as a parent myself, I'd want to play a major interest in what my kids are doing online. So I'll be asking them, what are you doing? Show me what you're up to, just so that I can see and get a feel for what they're doing. And of course, the telltale sign with kids is, and I'm sure Susan will agree with me here, is that as soon as you ask them to do something and they know it's not quite right, there's going to be a bit of resistance there. So you're going to be able to sort of go, oh, something's not quite right here. So,
Yes, I totally agree, and I'm a parent as well. So, you know, and one of the typical things that children will say to parents is, you know, go away, you can't look, it's private. And of course, as the caller said, and as we all know, the internet is not private, it's a public place. And even if you hit delete, you are only deleting it from the little bit that you can see, that it is stored. Kids are often amazed when I tell them that if I, as a police officer, contacted the Hotmail people, I could actually get a transcript of every single thing that has gone in and out of their Hotmail account since the day it started. And they certainly squirm in their seat.
So is that the first sign for parents or others to be aware of that, hey, there's this secrecy, there's this furtiveness going on?
There is that. They often like to think that they can put one over their parents. And, you know, my children are no different. I'm told that I'm dumb, useless and stupid and to go away because it's private. They don't get very far, mind you, but they try. But I have the confidence to say, well, no, I know that's not right. Let's look at it. I think parents need to get back to being parents, not to be put off by their children trying to rule the show.
Mm.
Nothing's private online. And I say to kids, if you want private, you go to Kmart, you buy a diary, you write in it, you lock it and put it under your mattress. That's private. What you type into the internet is not. So parents need to take an interest in their child's online life, the same as offline. They play football with their kids, they take them to the beach, they walk the dog, they go to the movies. Do they ever sit online and interact with their kids? play a game with them online. You know, Monopoly is a great game to play around the kitchen table, but there are also some fabulous online games that your children might be playing that would be really worthwhile you sitting there and having a go at yourself. And of course, if your children is doing anything online, it doesn't matter what they're doing, you as a parent, it's your responsibility to know how that application works and what sort of interaction your child's having.
Because I think there is also not only a moral responsibility on parents, but a legal responsibility. Tell us about that.
There isn't. I mean, parents have to be mindful of what children are doing online. And of course, what we know is parents buy the technology, they're the ones with the money, but I can guarantee you it's the child that's chosen it, has taken it home from the store and installed it without, you know, their parents as much as having a bit of a look in, because A, they're probably very time poor, and B, they don't understand anyway.
Yeah.
We know that they connect to the internet through gaming consoles. Many parents aren't aware that there are parental controls on the Xbox. When you set up the Wii system, you know, as your child is installing that on the TV, which is usually not the main TV, because you don't want them jumping up and down in front of you. It'll be on the TV that's upstairs in the rumpus room or the spare TV in the garage. You know, one of the options is connect to the internet. Now, if you're not there and aware, your child could be connecting to the internet totally without your knowledge using a gaming console. So parents just have to embrace technology. It's not scary. You shouldn't be afraid of it. But I think parents feel disempowered because, A, they didn't grow up with it, and, B, most kids aren't that encouraging when it comes to helping mum and dad understand it, because they're fearful. Because they, you know, when parents say, "Well, show me this," often they'll say, "Well, show me this so I can keep track on you," or "Show me this so I can spy on you." You know, that's not really a recipe for good communication. It needs to be done from the point of view is, I really want to understand this. I want to be able to come online and have fun with you. Would you show me?
You're with 891 ABC Adelaide and around South Australia and Broken Hill. Andrew McComb, a final word from you. Any tips for parents?
Oh, absolutely. As Susan said, come in with an approach really to be part of your child's online experience. Share it with them. Go home tonight. The first thing you can do, all the listeners should do this, ask your kids to show them your face, or the Facebook site or something online. You can sit down and say, why do you do that? How do you do this? Oh, I get the idea of that. So you've really got the ability to interact with your kids and have fun with your kids. And if you do that, then you're well and truly on the way. But listen to them as well. And don't forget the mobile phone or the mobile devices. They're equally connected to the internet. SMS, a real problem for cyberbullying too. You've got that to sort of keep an eye on as well. Make sure they're not in their bedrooms with their mobile phones texting under the beds at 11 o'clock at night, because potentially there's a lot of that goes on, and that's where it all starts.
Susan McLean, thank you. And Andrew McComb, thank you for being with us too.
Thank you.
You can catch Susan McLean at the Generation Next event this Saturday night at the Convention Centre between 6 and 10. There will be other parenting experts, GP Dr. Sally Coburn and psychologist Dr. Michael Cargreg and others. Certainly raising awareness for parents. It's 3:28.